As many of you know watching, I'm Charlene Bollinger with The Truth About Cancer and The Truth About Vaccines. And I am privileged and honored today to bring you in our series, an extension of our docuseries, The Truth About Vaccines 2020. This is now The Truth About Vaccines 2020, the censorship series that we're doing, covering COVID, censorship, and even the push for the forced vaccination. I have Sheriff Mack, very well known for helping us to understand the Constitution and the sheriffs around our nation, their duty, what they've sworn to uphold, which is the Constitution, protecting the people. And right now we're seeing a tyrannical push by a lot of policemen that just probably do not know what their real role is as a protector of the people and a servant. They're not acting as servants of the people, rather extensions and a tyrannical arm of tyrants. So Sheriff, thank you for joining me.
Well, thanks for having me. It's more than a pleasure to be with you, and I feel it an honor to be able to work with you.
Thank you, Sheriff. And you come highly recommended by many of my good friends. And I am still learning about all the things that you've done for our country, for the Constitution, for liberty, and for freedom. You are a beacon in the world, and I couldn't be happier to have you as a part of this series for our crowd to learn what you're doing and to be able to support you in that effort, because I believe that everybody, when they learn what you're doing, will support you. So I would like to start at a big highlight. Could you fill us in on the Keystone case that you won at the Supreme Court level? What was that all about? How did that happen? And tell us about the triumph and success.
Okay. That's one of my favorite stories ever. It changed my life. And it's really, to be quite honest, it's the only reason that you and I are here together now. It's my calling card. And in 1994, I was sheriff of a small town in Safford, Arizona, Graham County, Graham like Graham Cracker. And it was where I grew up, is where my father served as an FBI agent for about 25 years. And I just wanted to be sheriff in my hometown. That was a lifetime dream come true. And doggone it only lasted 8 years, but it was still a great run. I loved it. But while I was sheriff in 1993, November of 1993, I remember watching Bill Clinton signed the Brady Bill into law. And he said the Brady Bill would make us all so safe. It was all about gun control. And he said it would make our nation so safe that even our nation's police officers wouldn't need to carry guns anymore. That is so Clinton-esque, you know? And so I didn't really think much of it. But then in January of 1994, January 21st, 1994, we had a Sheriff's Association meeting in Phoenix. And there's only 15 counties in Arizona. So there was 13 sheriffs at the meeting. And there were three agents of the BATF, Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. You know, I know it's hard to keep track of all those alphabet soup bureaucracies in Washington, D.C. But these three of them were there, and they handed us a document telling us what our marching orders were in order for us to comply with the Brady Bill. And we're all looking at each other and going, what? And they go, yeah, Congress and the president made this law that you have to do all the Brady Bill background checks and you have to pay for it. And if you don't, you're subject to arrest. So if the sheriffs now, get this, if the sheriffs in the United States don't go along with Bill Clinton and Congress, we could be arrested. Mm. And I didn't make that up. People think I make this stuff up, but it's all documented and anybody could look it up. So the three agents left, and you never heard so much cussing in your life. Every sheriff, Democrat or Republican, was really ticked off. You know, the arrogance, you know, but anyway, seriously, it was some pretty profound profanity.
Profound profanity.
So anyway, I was pretty ticked off, and I told the other sheriffs that I wasn't going to do it. But then I was really afraid that Janet Reno and the Clinton administration might try to surprise me one morning at 2 o'clock in my house and haul me off to jail. So I was still pretty ticked off, and I had a 2.5 hour drive, and I was brooding all the way home. I was brooding and brooding. And finally, when I drove into my driveway, it hit me. I'm going to sue my own government. There's no way I'm going to do this. There's no way they can make me do this. They can't fire me. They can't hire me. I don't work for them. And so I thought, well, as I go in the house, I haven't seen my wife for a day and a half. There's no way that she's going to let me do it. She's going to tell me, no, we got 5 kids. We got other things. We love this job. We don't want to mess up this job. And you wouldn't believe it, Charlene. I'm not kidding you. She totally supported me. And she goes, now we know why you were supposed to be sheriff. Because it was such a miracle that I was even elected. I hadn't lived there for 12 years. I was a cop at Provo Police Department in Utah for 11 years. And before that, I was going to college there. And so there's no way I should have been elected. I never worked in law enforcement in the state of Arizona or in my hometown. And it was a very unlikely election, but I won. And so this came about that I am now going to sue the federal government. I didn't know what to do. How do you sue the federal government, especially the Clinton administration? You know, seriously, I sued the Clintons and I lived to tell about it.
Wow. Wow.
So anyway, I'm just totally naive, totally ignorant about how you do that. So I went to talk to a lawyer friend of mine downtown Safford, and he thought I was crazy. He just says, man, did you talk to your wife about this? And I said, yeah, she gave me the thumbs up, you know. And he goes, man, no way. He said, why don't you just go golfing and get this out of your system or something, you know. And so I said, well, how much money would, he said, nobody that's certified to go to the Supreme Court will even let you walk in the door for less than $20,000. And he says, I know you don't have that kind of money. I said, well, yeah, I guess I could. So then right after I was really discouraged and disappointed about how this was going, my undersheriff walks in the door, and I know he's a lifetime member of the NRA. I wasn't really much into guns. I was into freedom, but I wasn't much into guns. I love guns, but I was not a gun nut. And so I said, hey, Mike, you're a member of the NRA. And he said, yeah. I said, do they have a toll-free number where you can call and get advice? And he said, yeah, here's a number. I don't know what you're going to get. So I called him and I got passed around. Finally, I ended up in the office of one Richard Gardner. And he's a lawyer for the NRA. Now I think he's a federal judge somewhere. But anyway, what he told me next changed my life forever. He said, Sheriff, we've been praying that you would call, and we've already been working on this case. We just needed a sheriff to call.
Oh, wow.
I know. It was amazing. And I said, well, I was the first one. So on February 28, 1994, I hired my own lawyer, the NRA lawyers, and the NRA footed the bill for this whole thing. Except for my lawyer. I paid my lawyer. And on February 28th, the very day the Brady Bill took effect, Mack versus U.S. happened in the federal district court in Tucson, Arizona. Then luckily for me and for the country, I believe, about 4 weeks later, Sheriff Prince from Montana also filed. And he and I ended up at the Supreme Court together, even though there was about a total of 7 or 8 of us that did the lawsuit. But there's over 3,080 sheriffs in the country. 7 did this lawsuit and did this fight. And I'll tell you what, I'm really glad that others did. And it kept the case going. And finally, in December of 1996, we went before the United States Supreme Court. And on June 27, 1997, the United States Supreme Court, in a 5-4 split decision, ruled in our favor and ruled that the federal government could not tell us to do anything and that they could not tell the states to do anything. No officer of the state, it said, quote, is subject to federal direction. And the state legislatures are not subject to federal direction. And then Scalia, who wrote the decision, totally floored me. And I'm telling you right now, Charlene, everybody on this program today, everybody in America, you need to read this decision. This decision went 10 times further than I ever dreamed. Because at one point, Scalia was taking us through a wonderful history lesson. And he quotes the Founding Fathers, and he quotes the Federalist Papers, and he quotes the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence. And oh my goodness, this was just an amazing piece of jurisprudence. And then he said this, and all of your audience are going to want to hear the next two things I say, because they're right out of the Supreme Court. And wouldn't we all be dreaming for the Supreme Court today to say this, quote, but the Constitution protects us from our own best intentions, end quote. Charlene, wouldn't you love everybody that works in government to know and understand that principle, that government, that the Constitution protects us from our government's own best intentions? We wouldn't have a lockdown right now. We wouldn't have all these horrible tyrannical things going on now. We wouldn't have the panic-demic or the pandemic of corruption that we have in this country today. We wouldn't have self-appointed dictators in Virginia and New Jersey and Michigan and California and New Mexico. Oh my gosh, I guess I could keep going on and on. But then he went on and he actually said this. And I'm telling you, it's so totally amazing. I still am in awe of this decision. He said, it divides power among sovereigns and among branches of government precisely so that we may resist the temptation to concentrate power in one location as an expedient solution to the crisis of the day, end quote. The crisis of the day. And so that totally turns the Obama administration on its head, who use that as their mantra with Rahm Emanuel, is saying that we should never let a good crisis go to waste. Well, you know what? The Constitution protects us from you and all your crises because freedom comes first. And you were asking earlier, and this is where this comes up in the training that I do for sheriffs and public officials and cops and citizens alike. It comes down to this. What is the purpose of all government? What are they supposed to be doing? And do you know what, Charlene? Not even the Constitution says what the purpose of all government is, unless you take the preamble and the generalities that are in the preamble. But if you really want to see specifically what government is for, go to the second paragraph in the Declaration of Independence. And right after it talks about the three natural rights that we are all blessed with, after it talks about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness or property, it says this, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men. So the only reason you need a sheriff, the only reason you need a governor or a city council or a dog catcher or county commissioners or a county recorder or the President of the United States and the United States Congress, the only reason we the people need any of those people is to protect our liberty, is to protect our civil rights. That is paramount. That is what government is for at every level. And then Scalia's decision even gives us a check and balance system that a lot of us are not aware of. And in this decision, he says this, and he's quoting Federalist Paper 51. And he said this, when we have all governments, especially, he said, the government of dual sovereignty, the governments of dual sovereignty, in other words, the state government and the federal government. And when we have all governments working together, and he even talked about local or municipal authorities sharing the supremacy. And I love that, sharing the supremacy and dual sovereignty. And he said this, if we have those working together, quote, this happens, quote, hence a double security arises to the rights of the people. The different governments will control each other. And I'm telling you, there's still other priceless gems in this decision. And I urge you and everybody, all your supporters, everybody you're affiliated with, go to our website, CSPOA, stands for Constitutional Sheriff's Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org. And I have a little review booklet of that decision. And it just fits in your shirt pocket. And it's called The Victory for State Sovereignty. And that's available on my website. And it costs, like, if you only get one, it costs $3. But you can get five of them for 10. I would get dozens of them, folks, and hand these out to other people, especially your sheriff, your chief of police, officers, so that they understand what our role really is and that liberty for everyone is the ultimate goal here. And that when there's a Rosa Parks standing and saying, no, I won't do that. No, I won't get to the back of the bus. And you know who I compare to Rosa Parks today? Shelley Luther, the salon owner in Dallas, where she stood against the government, stood against law enforcement, tore up her subpoena or summons. I think it was a summons of her for her arrest and or cease and desist order. And she tears that up in front of the cops. I'm so proud of her. I want to go there and get a haircut from her.
Yeah. And, well, Ted Cruz flew down there and to get his haircut.
I saw Ted.
Yeah.
Ted's trying to upstage me there. Yeah. I thought of it as soon as I saw her, but I don't live as close as he does. But I'll tell you what, I absolutely admire her. She is a modern day Rosa Parks. I love Rosa Parks and her story, standing against cruel, stupid, tyrannical government. Why would any cop enforce this stupidity and this law of stupidity and arrest Rosa Parks because she won't give her seat to a white man?
I know, that's frustrating.
Is it any less stupid for us to do this to someone who just wants to open her store? Mm. I mean, it's the same thing. It's her civil rights. It's her individual God-given right. It's her right to peaceably assemble. It's her right to her own property. And it's her right to make a living. And so liberty and the pursuit of happiness are being destroyed by government officials and cops, and she stands for it, and they still want, and then they want to call her selfish? Oh my God.
That's propaganda. They're using that against, they're weaponizing. Oh. They're weaponizing the media to get us to believe their sound bites, which are just nothing more than lies to keep us in line and in control.
You people who want to be free, you're so selfish. You know, good grief. And so I'm proud of her, and in my books, I write about Rosa Parks in at least three different of my books. I talk about her in all my presentations because I'll ask everybody right now. I want to ask every sheriff and every patrol officer and every chief of police. If you were called back into time to December 1st, 1955, would you have arrested Rosa Parks there off the bus in Montgomery, Alabama? Would you have arrested her? You're going to do your duty, cop. You're going to teach this troublemaker a lesson? Or would you have sat down next to her, reach over and shake her hand, and then make sure she gets home safely? You escort her home and you make sure nobody messes with her or Hooded Knights go and burn crosses in her yard or burn her house down or worse, lynch her. Your job now is to protect her. And that's exactly what our sheriffs and peace officers should be doing today.
Yes, well, you laid that out really well. That's absolutely true. And I would have to say, I've seen enough videos of the brutality of police in the streets today, not only in America, but around the world. It's shocking. I saw a video, and I know you'll know this, of a woman that was standing in protest. She was being very peaceable, very sensible, and very intelligent. She had her young son, maybe he was 6 years old, with her. She had a sign, a neon yellow sign on, and she was talking to a woman police. And when I first started watching this, I just knew in my spirit, I said, man, that woman's going to get her. I just know she's going to get her. You know, the woman is dialoguing and she's being sensible and nice and saying, I'm just standing here for my rights, not only mine, but my children and your children too. And so she starts walking away and they nab her and they separate her from her son. They shove her in the car and the son is being held by another officer and he's screaming and kicking because he wants his mommy, which is so normal because God created the family and they're separating the family. And then the cops get a line around, there's somebody with a camera and the cops are blocking the camera. You know, you can't get in here. And so he said, can you please bring me the boy? Just bring me the boy. Can you? He's scared. Bring me the boy. And they wouldn't. And that's one of many instances. We've seen many things going on. There's a 13-year-old girl, and I happen to have a 13-year-old daughter. I've got four children, and a cop had her down and beating her. What is going on? And these same cops doing this, I would believe they would have arrested Rosa Parks. It's the same spirit. Yeah. So the cops say, no, I wouldn't have done that, but I'm going to beat this 13-year-old, or I'm going to take this mommy away from this child because this law says, when the law contradicts God's law, the Bible says we would rather obey God than man. And that's the bottom line. And the Constitution is a reiteration, really, in the Bill of Rights to what God has ensured and endowed to us. He's given us by right of creation.
You're absolutely correct.
We have the right to defend ourselves against tyranny and people that would harm us. And, you know, my older daughter, she's 19, at 10 years old, she memorized the entire Declaration of Independence word for word. I will send you that. But wow. She's a student of history. We are a family of, we love history. And those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it. People need to get into their history books and learn the real history. It's been rewritten in large parts. So you really have to dig to find the real deal. But she, when she was memorizing this, and they're all educated at home, so they're pretty bright. My son, they've got high ACT scores, scholarships. I mean, I encourage people to do the education because schools are not educating, they're indoctrinating, and that's another big problem. But with Brianna, when she was memorizing the Declaration of Independence, she was coming to me and saying, we were studying through Roman history, and she's seeing what's going on today, and understanding the founding of our nation in the 1700s and so forth. She said, this same thing is happening today. It's like Rome, it happened here, and it's happening in America today. And that was 9 years ago. And she's recited the Declaration many times at an Oath Keepers rally, at our church a few times on the 4th of July in celebration of the day. But more people, she has the whole thing memorized. More people need to at least read it. I think that in the days of Laura Ingalls, I was actually reading that book to the children, and I was inspired reading it to the children where Laura said, oh, well, yeah, they were reciting the Declaration, but or reading it, but I didn't need to hear it because I already had it memorized. And at that moment in time, I had already trained my children to memorize volumes of scripture and poetry, so they were good at that. But I started them off. I said, you know, today we're going to memorize the Declaration. We're going to start. And we did it just one line at a time, one day at a time. And she took it all the way to the end, and she still has that document memorized. It's a beautiful document for a beautiful nation.
Yeah, it is. I've got parts of it memorized, and you know, as you know, I'm an eighth grade history teacher, and I make my kids memorize parts of it, and they have to memorize the preamble. It's a sign language. And,
nice.
So yeah. Okay, you ready for my history trivia question?
Mm-hmm.
Is your daughter close by? Maybe she ought to get on this too.
Brianna? I don't know if she's... Okay, this question's for you. Are you listening?
Hey, Brianna.
Okay, she's listening. She's upstairs. Okay.
It's a trick question.
Trick question, honey.
Trick question. Okay, what famous president is on the American $100 bill?
Brianna?
Yeah?
What president is on the American $100 bill? Ben Franklin?
He was not president, but it was Ben Franklin.
I was thinking that as I said it. He wasn't. She said Ben Franklin. I'm thinking he wasn't president, but she just
never
said
president. Yeah.
Ben Franklin. So you tricked. You tricked him.
But what was he in the administration for President Washington? That's the hard question.
What?
That's
she doesn't know, but is eager to hear.
He was the Postmaster General.
Oh, we knew that. We just didn't know what administration. We knew that he was Postmaster General, and he's invented so many things, from the fire station to the postmaster and all kinds of things.
Very good man. I love him. I love our founding fathers. And, you know, going back to what you originally were asking me also, I want to tell law enforcement that with that scenario I just gave you with Shelley Luther and Rosa Parks, it's obvious that we need to clean our own nose before we start trying to clean everybody else's. And law enforcement usually blames the legislature or the judges. Say, man, they just really ruin everything. And then the other brainwashing for police officers is this, that I don't make the law, I just enforce the law. And as if they have no independent responsibility to keep their oath of office. And so they basically say, I just have to enforce the law. I don't have to apply any moral responsibility in the enforcement of the law. As long as the legislature has passed a law, then I'm going to enforce it. And if that means arrest Rosa Parks, so be it. If it means arrest Shelley Luther or the mom with the six-year-old, even though they've hurt no one else, and even though they've broken no law, because these stay-at-home orders are just that. They're suggestions from the governor. The governor can't make law. The legislature has to pass it to be a law. And even if they did, you were alluding to this earlier, even if the legislature passed these orders, they're still unconstitutional. There's still a violation of God's law and the Constitution, and we shouldn't enforce any of those. And then those cops are going to say, who are you to decide what's constitutional and what's not? And I said, I'm the one that took the oath. I have the responsibility to keep it. So yes, officers, it is impossible to keep an oath to a document you have never read or studied. And especially the Bill of Rights. It doesn't take a genius or a rocket scientist to know what shall not be infringed means, or Congress shall make no law regarding an establishment of religion or freedom of the press or freedom of speech or the right to peaceably assemble. These are God-given rights that we all have. And then we have police officers that are so willing to violate them. So let me go back a little bit on that and say, police officers, sheriffs and chiefs of police, county commissions, and anybody else that has anything to do with overseeing law enforcement in this country, first and foremost, forcing someone to take a blood test in a DUI situation is illegal, unconstitutional, and morally reprehensible. For you to force another human being, tie them down, hogtie them, so you can suck blood out of their veins for a court case? No, that's absolutely wrong. And there comes the conditioning that I'm afraid of that's going to happen with the coronavirus vaccine. And because the police have been so conditioned, and you've been pointing some out. What I do want to say, though, there is good news. There is really good news,
because we have
so many sheriffs and peace officers. I mean, look at the wonderful preaching and ministering that we received from Officer Greg Anderson in his patrol car. What a better place to be able to tell people in this country, I'm going to keep my oath that I took as a police officer, as a peace officer, and we all need to do this. And yet he really totally called it right. I donated money from the CSPUA to him, and we're trying to raise money ourselves, but I had to donate to him And I'm so proud of him. I sure wish somebody would get him a message and have him call me, because I want to work with him. I want to name him Peace Officer of the Year. This is definitely the constitutional Peace Officer of the Year.
Officer, let me just say to our audience, I agree with the sheriff. If you can get a hold of Greg Anderson, give him this video. Yes. Tell him that Charlene with the Truth About Cancer wants to interview him so that our millions of viewers can see him, and that the good Sheriff Mack also wants to meet him, shake his hand, and give him an award. I'd love to be there, Sheriff, with you as he receives that award. The man is worth his weight in gold. And,
and the other part of that, they can buy
the integrity that man has. He left his job, and I loved the fact that he said, this is what we need to do. We need to stand up and be ready to lose our job if that's what happens. And he lost his job. He's like, I got to do it, guys. I said it. I'm not going
to. How many times I've said that to peace officers? You mean you're willing to violate somebody's civil rights, their God-given rights, so you can keep your paycheck?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I'm with you. I mean, we've had to be forsaken by a lot of people in the line of work that we do, because we stand for truth. We're fighting day and night to get the truth out into the world. And as you know, the truth is not always popular, but it's our saving grace against tyranny, really. And they're hiding, they're lying, and they're propagandizing, and Operation Mockingbird. And we can name all kinds of systems they have in place to keep us muzzled. The freedom of speech is being muzzled. The freedom to assemble, as you said right now, that's shocking that they're not allowing us, because if we could assemble and talk to one another and communicate and have freedom of speech, they would have no power, because their power is only in deception.
Right. Oh yeah. Well, one other point I wanted to make, how cops have been brainwashed and dumbed down to accept doing things that they're not supposed to be doing, is roadblocks. Can you believe, and he talked about it, Officer Anderson talked about this, can you believe we actually stop people and ask for their papers? And that's when he compared this. What, are we Nazi Germany? Are we the Gestapo? I think he used Gestapo. And how could we do that to people? Without probable cause, without reasonable suspicion, we just run roadblocks, especially every New Year's Eve. We set up all these roadblocks because we know people are going to be out drinking. So, of course, we do that. And we force them into this stop. And if they don't have their license and registration and proof of insurance, then we haul them off. And no, I'm sorry. There is a way to do those legally and lawfully and constitutionally. All you have to do is make them voluntary, to where we participate voluntary. I can do that. And if somebody turns around to leave, that's not probable cause for a stop. And I'm telling you, the officers in this country have been so brainwashed and conditioned to violate these essential parts of the Bill of Rights that it's made them prepared to enforce these stupid laws from these governors that we have going on today. I am appalled and so encouraged and uplifted at the same time, because we have dozens and dozens, if not hundreds, of sheriffs standing across this country. And I know that Officer Anderson isn't the only patrol officer that is doing this. There's others. And God bless all of them as they become true guards of the Republic, guards of the Constitution, and guards of liberty. That's what our cops are supposed to be. And we at the CSPOA provide constitutional training for every sheriff, chief of police, public official, and patrol officer in this country. Everybody needs to see it.
Wow. So everything you said is really compelling. It's nice to know the law. It's needed really right now to understand the law and how they're breaking the law by forcing us into this lockdown. So in the series of videos I'm doing here, we've covered the science about behind COVID, what it really is, and there's not really anything of validity to back up the fact that it's so catchy. And the numbers even, I mean, they're faked, that the numbers of, and we're sad to see that some people are dying, and it is a real thing, but the science behind it is not what we're being told. The numbers are inflated dramatically, and the actual numbers at this point are lower than the flu. And we know that millions of people from the beginning of the year until now have died just of cancer alone or suicide. I have someone locally who got the COVID, they recovered, they didn't have any parents. Everybody now looked at him as a leper. And so they stayed away from him and he couldn't get work and he's out of work now and nobody can get work. He has no money, no savings, no parents, no friends, no way to work. Everybody's looking at him as a leper and he killed himself. Huh. And that's happening.
Oh, God. A lot.
The suicide rate has gone skyrocket because people are hopeless. When you lock people into a little cage, like little birds in a cage, birds were meant to be out singing. People were meant to be, we were created to be in fellowship with one another. Right. And even, you know, sharing germs, that's actually a good thing and boosts your immune system. So the isolation is causing more sickness, more sadness, more despair and despondency. So the cure, and I put that in air quotes, is worse than the actual plandemic, whatever you want to call it. So these things are really problematic. There are people dying. I mean, on the FDA's own website, it says that 100,000 people a year die on properly prescribed prescription drugs. Right. And they have other reasons, medical.
That's on their website?
What? On the FDA's website. Yes, that's on their website. We've got the screenshot. Yes, really. And there's a lot of the beds, a lot of just bed sores, things like that. So we're not closing down the world for these millions of deaths of cancer. And we're trying to help. In fact, we have solutions. We bring solutions. And people now reach out to us and say, thank you for saving our life because they've watched our films. They understand now how the body works, how the terrain works. They were able to clean up their bodies and heal their bodies and balance their bodies. So now they're cancer free when they were sent home to die. But what did they do with that? We have the answer to cancer. We have the truth about cancer, answers for people, solutions, and we have testimony after testimony. What do? They shut us down. They censor us on Twitter. They shut us down. They're attacking our website. So you have to wonder, what is their agenda? It's not life. It's not truth. It's deception, and it leads to death. And that's what we're seeing with this lockdown. So we've got the science. We have the numbers. And we have the policemen that are attacking. I'm going to give you the ball in a second because this is important. What is the solution? How can we stop the madness? How can we enlighten the world if they will stop censoring us? Right. What is the point of action we can all take and our audience can take to open the world back up, to stop the tyranny, and to live our life again?
Well, every citizen has to be dedicated to that. And every government official also has to be dedicated to the principles that our foundation occurred on. And we have to put liberty first. Just as I said earlier, what is the purpose of all government? It is to protect liberty. What is the purpose of all citizens? To know and understand that we choose. This is a system of self-governance. This is a system where we, the people, are in charge. In our form of government, a new experiment in the history of governments and the history of ruling is that this one put the people in charge. And the Declaration of Independence even says that whenever government becomes destructive of these ends, it is the right of the people, it is the duty of the people to throw off such government, not vote that government out, but to throw off such government and establish new guards. And so I'm really so into this for one reason. I was going to say, I'm not really that concerned about the efficacy of the statistics of this disease or any other. I'm about the principles of liberty, regardless of what disease you're talking about. I don't care. Look how many people we kill that's totally preventable because people smoke too much or because of obesity, because people eat too much ice cream. And do we ever shut down the Dairy Queens? Do we shut down the ice cream parlors? Do we get rid of ice cream from the stores? You can still buy ice cream now. In fact, people are sitting home eating it because we don't have anything else to do because I get tired of watching TV. Okay, the stupidity of this lockdown, it has nothing to do whether or not their numbers are correct. It has everything to do with they can't do that to me or my neighbors, no matter what. It doesn't matter what the disease is. We kill a million people every year because they smoke. Okay? Do we shut down the smoking industry? Do we get rid of tobacco? People get killed in accidents and drink themselves to death, and alcoholism is another horrible disease. Do we ever shut down alcohol? Do we shut down the state liquor stores? Do we shut down drinking at baseball games? Oh, for heaven's sakes. If you shut it down at golf, man, golf will dry up and die. This is the point. No matter what the crisis of the day might be, none of our government officials, no governor, no mayor, no cop, no sheriff, not the president who has not done it. I really appreciate him calling these guidelines. He said that people still choose. I love his example. The governors of this country should have followed his example and left it to us. Jefferson even said that in our Republican nation, the people can be persuaded and reasoned with, but they cannot be forced. And my dear friends, it is my choice if I take vitamin C. Numerous doctors and even the CDC at the beginning of this said, if you want to prevent this disease, then be taking vitamin C, vitamin A, and vitamin D. And yes, the sun does help with that. And so now they're all backing off of that. And I really like Dr. Batar, who said, yes, you need to still be doing that. And there are ways to prevent this. And this is, to me, whether or not they're telling the truth about the coronavirus or not, which we already know they've already, and we know they've inflated the numbers. We know the CDC asked hospitals and people signing death certificates to inflate the numbers. We know that's already happened. But it's still, that's not the key issue. Them lying, they should be charged for that. I mean, they put all sorts of people in prison now if they lie to Congress. You know, lying to a bunch of liars? Wow, who cares? But the truth of the matter is, my individual liberty, your individual liberty, comes first. And that's what every cop has sworn to protect. And anybody blindly following a governor or another person that makes themselves a little Hitler, that's everything our government and that's everything we're against. It's the opposite. It's the antithesis of American liberty. How could any of you do that? Put liberty first, and then true leadership will persuade and reason with us and get us to cooperate, but never by force. And this shutdown, I believe, is one of the biggest political pandemics and disasters, and just another sign of political corruption that is killing this country. And yes, I'm worried about diseases and I'm worried about the coronavirus, but I'm scared to death of the corruption and the destruction of our Constitution and our individual liberties that are happening by our own government officials. Sheriffs, stand and stop this nonsense today. Please keep your oath of office and be a true American constitutional sheriff.
Thank you, Sheriff Mack. This has been an amazing hour with you. I could probably talk for a few more hours. I'm sure our listeners, viewers would love it as well. I think that the best thing that we can encourage the viewers out there is to, we'll click the link below. We're gonna put it into our description and support the good sheriff's efforts. He's doing great work. We do need to educate the citizens, the police departments, and the sheriffs, because the people are deprived of truth. Even these policemen, they don't realize their job is to back us up and to protect us and to enforce the Constitution. And at times, if that means saying no to a tyrannical government with us, then they should do that. Like, I think his name was Greg Anderson, the patrol policeman. So we need to spread the truth far and wide, spread the sheriff's good work far and wide, and share this video with everybody that you know so that they can learn the truth. This is just a little tiny nugget in the whole thing. You will find a lot of information about how you can wake up to liberty what is liberty? What does the Constitution say? What is our Bill of Rights? And realize, wow, they're being broken every single day by these tyrants, and we need to push it back. We need to push it back. Thank you, Sheriff.
Well, could I tell, just kind of clear something else up. The organization that I'm president of and founder of is called the CSPOA, Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association. We have a membership drive going on, and everybody can join. This is citizens plus law enforcement equals liberty. And we need everybody to be on board. And please go to the website. Everybody can be a member. And when you go talk to your sheriff or your patrol officer, tell them, I'm a member of the CSPOA. I'm proud of this organization that teaches cops and sheriffs to follow the Constitution. And we're doing this, and we've got to do it more. We need donations. We need memberships. We need numbers. We need people who really believe in what we're doing. And it doesn't matter what walk of life you are. We need you. And please make a donation. A membership is only $50. That's less than $4 a month. Become a member. Tell your sheriff. Ask him or her, are you a constitutional sheriff? And then depending on their answer, get one of our books. I've written the book, The County Sheriff, America's Last Hope. You need to read it. It's real short. Get that Victory for State Sovereignty, the review of our case. It'll save you a lot of time from having to go through the whole thing on the internet. Cornell University did a great review of the case, but it's a miracle. Get it in your hands and get it to your sheriff and say, would you be interested to know that a couple of sheriffs sued the federal government and won a case against the Clinton administration? Folks, this is such an opportunity for you to present this to your sheriff now and get him on board. We're not going to get all the sheriffs. We already know that. The big city sheriffs, we're not going to get most of them. But we can get a lot of the rural sheriffs in this country. And God bless them for the work they're doing. God bless Sheriff Nichols, Sheriff Fortney, Sheriff Songer. There's lots of others. I feel guilty saying their names. But folks, they work for you. The sheriff works for you. The chief of police works for you. The patrol officer works for you. Get involved with us. Help us with the holy cause of liberty. Join us in this wonderful cause. And I thank each and every one of you from the bottom of my heart. And thank you for having me, Charlene. It's a pleasure to call you friend. And I look forward to restoring our Constitution as we fight this all together.
Absolutely. Well, I stand with you, Sheriff, and I encourage everyone to heed his words, be a member of his organization, just like the NRA, the awareness around the freedom to bear arms has been largely due to the NRA. So I believe the good sheriff is doing great work, and we need to make him a household name like the NRA so that we can restore our great republic, our freedoms, for our pursuit of happiness and liberty. Thank you, Sheriff. Thank you for joining us, and thank you out there for watching. We'll be back soon. God bless.